Hello. Hello. Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the podcast of Up and Down and All Around. Again, I am your host with the platform most, Troy Reeves here. Back at it again for a kind of a unique episode. Testing a new format for an episode here. Just because I do want to apologize for not being as consistent with content lately. It's been kind of a crazy month, being in between jobs, looking for new work, and just, you know, planning stuff for the holidays and things of that nature. So I do apologize for not having episodes consistently here. I will promise that will change in 2021. I don't know if you heard the update video, but I have the update episode here, but I do have some plans here that I will kind of mention a little bit here and there, because it doesn't go into some of the games I will be talking about here today. But today, this episode, I'm primarily going to be starting a new series, kind of like a backlog series, as you will, to kind of talk about games that may not necessarily fit the themes of the show, like primarily platforming games that I have recently been playing that I just kind of want to talk about a little bit, just more give you guys my opinions of it, just kind of like my experiences of it. It's not like an in-depth review like a normal episode would be, but it'd be probably like giving like my first impressions, or kind of my overall impressions of the game, kind of like what I like about it, what I don't like about it, but more of a brief understanding here. And I'll probably make this kind of a more consistent series, just so to put on in between the main episodes here, just because it is hard to schedule guest hosts to talk about certain games with me, not just because they don't want to talk about the games, it's, you know, scheduling. I mean, y'all know how life can be sometimes, especially during this time of year, it could be a little hectic, so I completely understand. So this is just something I'll be testing out a bit. I'll probably have these either maybe like once a month or once or twice a month, no more than two times. I definitely want to do like in between episodes here and there, just to kind of give you guys an idea of it. But again, I do want to thank you guys for the support and everything. This has been kind of an interesting year, to say the least. And honestly, the podcast here, the show here, has definitely made this year more bearable. And I appreciate you guys' support and sticking with the show here. Again, I am planning on still sticking with the show when 2021 comes around. And I even have some more plans to kind of expand it a little bit. That I'll kind of discuss it here and there. But let's kind of get into it then, of games that I've just been kind of playing in between this time frame. I have had a lot more free time since I have been in between jobs, so I have been playing a lot more games recently than I normally would if I, like, obviously was working a little bit more consistently. Obviously, I'm not spending all my days playing games, but I do play a little bit more here and there. But the first game I want to talk about is probably the most recent game that I've been really getting into. And obviously, if you've been watching some of my streams, it's been Sonic Generations. Like, Sonic Generations, like, I have been starting streaming within the past week or two on my Twitch channel, which is under Roy Jenkins, if you want to give it a follow, just to kind of test out what I can do. I don't really have a gaming PC per se. I only have a laptop, and it can only do so much. So I've been kind of testing the waters of what I can stream and kind of like what quality and things of that nature. So I've been kind of doing it with a couple games, but the one that I've been really revisiting a lot is Sonic Generations, which obviously, if you know me and even could tell by the opening song of this podcast, Sonic Generations, like, I'm a huge Sonic fan. Like, Sonic is ups and downs one of my favorite series out there. I love the character a lot, and I don't want to go too much into this game, because I do want to eventually make an episode of Sonic Generation, and I probably will do it sometime next year to celebrate the series 30th anniversary. But I love this game so much. Like, I have put so much time into it. Like, not only like, because I got the Steam version when it was on sale just a little like February of this year, when the movie came out and they did the sale for it. So obviously, when the game's like, I think it was like priced like $5 or something, like super cheap, and I'm like, well, I might as well have it on my PC, because I haven't really done the mods and stuff. But I originally played it on my 360 back when the game first came out in 2011. I think I rented the game from Redbox at the time. Because I was... Around that time, I was still... I liked the series, but I haven't been... I definitely have been burnt with the Dark Age, like with Sonic 06, Shadow the Hedgehog. I don't think I have... I played Sonic Generation... not Sonic Generation, Sonic Unleashed, but I played the Wii version, which I actually enjoyed for the most part. My biggest criticism was just the Werehog levels. They weren't bad, they were just boring. And I think I got Sonic 4 beforehand, and I remember liking it, but I did think it was kind of bland. And I was like, well, you know, this is probably the best Sonic game I've played in quite some time. But I can understand why people don't love it now. But I would generally hype for Generations when it was first coming around. And I don't know. It's just like, I wanted to get it day one, but I just, again, I was like 18 around the time frame. And I just, there was other games that were more primary on my, like, I was more interested in at the time. I could think like Super Mario 3D Land, Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword, Skyrim. I was interested in Skyrim, even though I generally kind of realized I really wasn't a fan of those games. Batman Arkham City, which I still love to death. But yeah, like it was a very crowded holiday season. I remember 2011 being like, I remember 2011 being a very solid year for games. And oddly enough, the one that I keep on going to that came out that year has been Sonic Generations. Like I played the 360 version when it first came out, loved it. And then back when I first moved to Austin in 2013, my former roommates, they had a PS3, and one of the only games they had was Sonic Generations. And obviously I played it, and even to the point, like, I remember my roommates like, man, you played this more than I do. I'm like, I mean, and actually was impressed with some of my skills, because at that point I knew how to play. I think I put enough hours where I got back the flow of the game, and I just always find that funny. And then I actually bought the game for myself for the 360 back in 2016, I believe. I believe it was on sale on the digital shop, and I was just like, you know, might as well try to go get into that here. And now I played a PC version. Like, I think the PC version, I'm about to be at 30 hours on it, because I'm actually trying to 100% complete the game now, which I have never done. I always got to the 7 Chaos Emeralds and got to the final boss and, you know, played it here or there, but actually beat every mission and things of that nature. I'm not going to try to S rank everything. I think that's a little too crazy with some of the missions here, but I will at least S rank a lot of the main levels, just because it's pretty, it's not that difficult to do. Classic Sonic's probably a little bit harder, just because I'm not as a fan of the classic Sonic version of the gameplay compared to modern. I mean, I do enjoy it, and I understand it is a good break from like the modern boost formula, but I just feel like the physics are just a little off, to say the least, like compared to the 2D games. And I mean, it's not going to be a one-on-one creation, because it's hard to do that from going from the pixel, like, you know, the 2D style and bringing it to like a 2.5D, because that's really what it is. This is really 2.5D. And I mean, it's not bad. It's still very playable. It's just not perfect. And oddly enough, it does get worse in Sonic Forces, which I think Classic Sonic was such an afterthought in that game. I digress. But it is cool to see the levels, like old favorites like Green Hill, Chemical Plant, Sky Sanctuary, and like kind of in 2D, but a kind of a new taste on it. But also seeing like 2D versions of the 3D games that I personally grew up on. I did play the classic games along with the 3D games, but I had more of a fondness with the 3D games. Yeah, I think that's what got me into the series in first. Again, Sonic Adventure 2 Battle was probably like my first Sonic game I truly love. I have played Sonic games before, but I know Sonic Adventure 2 was the one that really grabbed me. And I got Mega Collection around that same time, but I put more time into the 3D games than I did at the 2D games. Now, I would say I probably revisit the 2D games a little bit more than the 3D games, but I still, like, obviously love to go back to those games, even warts and all. And it's super cool to see those in 2D and stuff like that. And I do think the set pieces are very well done in that way. And yeah, like, it, but the modes that I just keep on playing are just the modern stages, the boost formula. Like, I still think to this day the boost formula is pretty much perfected as Sonic Generations. Or I don't want to say perfected, because I do have my issues with it still, but I do think it's the best it's ever been in Sonic Generations. Like, to me, it just feels more fluent. It feels very, it's the best. It's like, honestly, bringing what made the 2D game so great into 3D. And I know that's always up for debate with the Sonic franchise, because there has been so many attempts at 3D Sonic, and it has been more experimental in the stages. I mean, you have the Adventure formula, which I do enjoy. I do think it has flaws, but I would love them to revisit it one day, because I do think you can improve on it and make it truly something special. And I think there is a reason why fans still learn to those games to this day. But also, like, with kind of the unique style that they did with, like, the spinoff games, and then Sonic Lost World, I think was a very interesting attempt. I just don't think it was fully formed, and maybe not best suited for a Sonic game. I don't know. Like, again, that game's probably going to get an episode at some point, but the boots formula to me, and I get the criticism of it. It's not the end all be all for 3D Sonic. In fact, I would like them to kind of back away from it a bit, especially after Forces, where it just feels like it was such a like half-ass attempt compared to Generations. Like, the fact that I feel like Generations plays better than Forces, a game that would come out 6 years later and on different hard, like, a generation, it's kind of inexcusable. But to me, the reason why I feel like I just go back to Sonic Generations is just because it's such a fun game to speedrun. And that's always why I loved about the Sonic games, and why I feel like I graduate towards those games so much, is the replayability is so strong if you just loved it. Like, it's just so strong to me. Like, I love replaying these games. Like, I mean, even Mania, like, I like love just going back and just trying to see if I can beat my best time. Like, that's really what I love about these games, and Sonic Generation just does it so damn well. Like, I love trying to beat my times and stuff like that, and it feels controlled. A lot of the mistakes or deaths don't feel like they feel like my fault, even though there's some parts that I do think gets a little clumsy. And I particularly more like when you're strictly 3D and you have to do platforming in 3D, that's definitely when the controls really start showing its age. And I think that's my biggest criticism with the boost formula, really. It's just the controls when it's 2.5D or when you're just strictly boosting in the 3D aspect, I think work fine, but there's definitely some rooms to improve. But my only issue with it is I don't know how you could really necessarily improve upon it without really messing around with the formula. And I think that's why I've been very pessimistic on what the next boost formula game would be, because I honestly feel like, as much as I would love a return to the adventure style, I do think the 30th anniversary game will probably be another boost formula game, which I'm not against. Like, I still love this formula. I mean, there's a reason why I still revisit Generations time and time again, almost a decade into its lifespan. It definitely has some fundamental flaws that it's far from perfect, and it should not be where the series should go forward or rely forward. I think it should be a own subgenre of itself. Again, that's just me. But I primarily been playing with the PC version, not because of just streaming here with it, but I also been finally trying out some of the mods. I know the Sonic modding community has been very, very great. Like, honestly, I feel that's been what keeps the series forward, is just the fans itself. Like, obviously, it became with Mania, Like, that's because it's an overblown, I don't want to say an overblown mod hack, because I feel like gives it the game some disservice, because I really do love Mania. But obviously, it was a game made by fans for the fans. Christian Whitehead, like, was modding Sonic games forever before even Mania became, like, an idea, you know? So, the fans have definitely been the backbone of the series, and I love how Sega has at least embraced it compared to other companies, Nintendo, you know? And I finally got around to the Unleashed project, which is, if you haven't heard of the Unleashed project, it's this mod where basically it uses the Sonic Generation engine, like the Hedgehog engine, but particularly what Generation used, and just brings the Unleashed stages into it, which is its own separate version. Like, obviously, there's Rooftop Run, but it's a kind of a different version in Generations compared to its original one. But it brings all the levels in, and you can play it with the Generation style, and it's great. It's fantastic. I've been loving what they were able to do with it. Straight up, like, yeah, it's what I imagine if they bring all the Unleashed stages, primarily the speed ones, not the Werehog, the speed stages into Generations. And yeah, it's so damn good. Like, I don't know what to really say about it, except, like, if you played Unleashed, like, it's not exactly one for one. Like, I mean, obviously there's small differences here or there, but it's pretty damn close, and it is so, so good. Like, honestly, I think, like, if you have Sonic Generations on PC and you consider yourself a Sonic fan, I highly recommend the mod. And I do like it actually adds difficulty to getting S ranks. Like, that's been one of my own, like, small nitpicks on Generations. It's just, it's so easy to get S ranks in that game compared to other Sonic games. And with the Unleashed engine, you, like, not the Unleashed engine, the Unleashed project, it actually feels like a true feat on itself to get it. And you actually have to really think about your strategy when it comes to, like, your timing, like, what's the best routes to take to get your best time, all that. And I really have, that's probably been my most enjoyable aspect of the Unleashed project, really. It's just the fact that I feel like it's actually a challenge to get the S rank and work the challenge, because it's just so well implemented. And I just really enjoy it. So, I mean, again, it's the most popular mod. I know there's other mods out there that I do want to eventually mess with, but I'll probably kind of, like, maybe wait on, like, some, like, different streams on the future, or maybe when I do eventually talk about Sonic Generations more in depth in a future episode. But yeah, I've just been revisiting it, and it's just been a pleasure. It's just been a fun time, especially kind of in this weird kind of in between period I have. It's nice to have a game that I really been enjoying, and just kind of brings me comfort, to say the least. But that's kind of enough about Sonic Generations for now. Another game that I have been playing recently, or probably more like before I got back into Generations, and I hate, like, it's a game that, I mean, there's not that much to it. I mean, there is a lot of strategy to it. There's a lot to it, but it's basically just, like, a real-life simulator into it. And the game I'm talking about is this Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelists for the Nintendo Switch, particularly. That's the version I got. I originally got this game last year when it finally came out on the Switch, and I think it was the DLC. Like, it came with all the DLC, and it was, like, kind of the Ultimate Edition, which I think was, like, Link Evolution or something like that. I'm blanking on the name, but I got the physical copy that came with, like, free cards, and I think it was, like, $50 or something like that, which I wouldn't pay that much necessarily unless you're just a diehard Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan and you just want to play the card game on the go. And I do feel like I do see this game on sale a little bit on the eShop, but that's just me. But I do think it wasn't, like, a complete ripoff, because I did get all the DLC, which I think at the time did value to that, and it did give me more enjoyment to the game, because I think it came with all the story DLC. Like, because I think the story mode, I think you had to buy episodically. I'm not 100% sure, because I'm only going off, like, the Steam page, because I did see, like, you do have, like, there are DLC for that. So I don't know if it's just, like, more, like there's only were so many battles with the base version. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but I don't know what I can really say about this game as much as the fact that it's just playing the card game on your Switch. Like, and actually like the main card game, because I know with Duel Links, which is another game I got into a couple years ago on my phone, it's more like speed duels with that. Like, it's not, it has got obviously most of the rules, but it's more meant for definitely more of a speed run type stuff, or like more for your phone. Because like, for example, like Duel Links, you only can really summon, you only have free spots for your monsters and your spell entrapped, like free on top, free on the bottom. And in the full one, it's 5 top to bottom. So it's definitely more in depth there on that. And it's cool playing the card game, because one of my plans originally, obviously before 2020 happened with COVID and stuff, I wanted to get back into the card game. Just because I had a lot of fond memories with the card game. I always enjoyed it. I grew up with it. Obviously, if you know me, I did grow up with Yu-Gi-Oh! It's probably was my favorite anime, and still probably is my favorite anime, because I have been revisiting it, and I love it, cheese and all. Like, I love the English dub so much, because it's so, oh god, the censorship's so great, but I think that brings a charm to it, oddly enough. Like, I know it kind of hurts the main, like, what the game goes for, but like that series goes for, but man, some of the English dub, especially I've been watching GX dub, because I only really watched season 1 as a kid, so I actually been going through it as happening in the background, and man, some of the dubbing choices they made is so good. But it's been fun playing it, just because it's been a nice game to play when I'm in bed, or I'm kind of like winding down, or it's like I want to play something but I don't want to put too much effort into it, which I know it sounds kind of weird to say, but I feel like that's why I just been enjoying my time with Legacy of the Duelist, because it's been a nice game to kind of just wind down, play for a bit, play a couple duels, maybe try to build my deck in there. But I was planning on wanting to get back into the card game, because I wanted to do like some social meets with it. I know a couple like comic book shops and car shops here in town have like Yu-Gi-Oh! Nights and stuff like that. And I was planning on doing that to, you know, meet new people and kind of find more social avenues that isn't just going to a bar all the time, or just like something that I could do on my own, like things of that nature. Like, I mean, I have a great friend group here and I love everyone. And I've been not drinking, so it's like understandable in that. So I just been just trying to find something that's a little bit more for me, you know, like just something I could do like maybe once every blue moon and stuff like that. But obviously COVID happens, so Legacy of the Duelist had been kind of that fitting that urge for me, because I've been playing it not only just a story mode, but I also been playing a couple like matches that I play online through for Discord, like from people I met on Discord and things of that nature. But primarily most of my game has been with the story mode, which I think I'm about a little over 60 hours in, and I'm only about to beat GX. Maybe it also shows that how much I suck at the game, but also I've been using the story deck, which, holy crap. If you ever watch the anime and just like the protagonist seems like OG, like, you know, can always win, you're going to freaking lose with that deck. There's ways to win, but it's going to be pure luck at some points. But oh my god, those story decks are so awful. Like, it's so bad. Like, it's just like you're so underpowered. You don't have any good, like, you can not really have any good counters to certain cards. It's just really bad. And I mean, obviously, if you're a fan of the anime and like people are aware, like, how honestly bad like Yugi's deck, Jaden's deck were, like, there were were not the best, to say the least, but I've been enjoying my time with it, and I've been enjoying, like, the, you know, unlocking certain cards and, you know, building like a deck I could use to play online, or even like a, there's a mode in the game where you can just build a deck from battle packs that you build, like you get, like you just, you only have like, I think 5 rounds that you play with that deck, and you just play what you can, just play what you get with those battle packs. And I think that's super cool because it kind of like changes your strategy a bit and kind of also lets you test, try out cards that you might not necessarily won't gravitate towards as much. It kind of expands the game a bit on that end. And I mean, that's all I can really say. I mean, there's a lot to this game. Don't get me wrong. Like, they have, I think when I got it in 2019, I'm pretty sure it got pretty much all the cards, if not most of the cards that have been made, at least in the English version up to that point. And also, like, the story, like, you can go through every single anime, like, up to Vrains at that point, which is 6, like, series, and they go through most of the major duels. There are obviously some duels that they skip because it's kind of, like, considered filler and stuff in that nature, but, I mean, a lot of my time has been with the story mode, and I'm barely just beating GX, which is the second anime of the 6. Just to say that, at least. Granted, I also could say about my skills as an actual player of the card game, but there's a lot of content to it, so I don't feel ripped off like for having $50, especially because it came with the DLC and stuff like that. And I think if you get the base version on Steam, I think it's cheaper than that. But obviously, if I get the base version, I probably wouldn't pay more than $20. Like, I think that's going after that, it's going to be a little too expensive unless it comes with the DLC. And even then, like, I feel like 50 is kind of pushing it. I would probably, you see it on 30 or 40, I might pick it up. But again, it also just depends if you love the anime and card game. That's really what it comes down to. If you love the card game, you will love Legacy of the Duelist, because it's basically just the card game in a game form. Like, not in real form. Like, you're investing in the card game without like actually investing in it, because again, buying cards can become an expensive habit. So if you're curious about getting back into the card game, and that's another thing why I love about the story mode, it's also because it eases you into like each of the new styles that each of the series brings to, that eventually the card game does adapt. So I do think that's, it's a cool way to ease players into it. And also it has a great like kind of like tutorial mode to kind of, or not, I don't want to say great, but it does have a good way for you to kind of pick up where you last left off. And it also lets you play like certain like ways and things of that nature. Like, basically, if you're interested in wanting to play the card game again, this is probably going to be your best bet outside of Duel Links. I feel Duel Links is probably a lot more active because I could play more random online matches there. On the Legacy of the Duelist, I definitely had a few, but it's definitely not populated as much. I probably have to like go on to Discord and things of that nature to kind of get some matches. But yeah, that's all I could really say about Legacy of the Duelist. If you like the anime or card game, if you're interested in playing it, or like wanting to get into it but not wanting to invest so much money into getting like cards and things of that nature, I think Legacy of the Duelist is probably your best route that isn't Duel Links, to say the least. So another game that I've been playing, which I don't want to go too much into it because I do plan on talking about it for a lot more in depth in our Game of the Year episode I have planned up that should be dropping here in a couple weeks, is No More Heroes 1 and 2. So a friend of the show, Alexander, has been raving this game for me for a while. Mostly any Suda 51 game, Grasshopper game. He was waving to me about, but I always had the fascination of wanting to play No More Heroes because I enjoyed the art style. I liked what I saw when it first came out on the Nintendo Wii. Like, this game came out, I believe, in 2008, I believe, on a Nintendo Wii, and then the sequel came out in 2010. And then obviously Travis Strikes Again, the kind of spinoff slash sort of sequel, dropped in, believe, early last year in 2019. And then we're about to get, originally we're supposed to get No More Heroes this year, but obviously with COVID and just a lot of stuff, it got pushed back till next year, so, which I'm fine with. It was just more of an excuse for them to dropped these ports on the Nintendo Switch, which those are the versions I'm playing, the Switch ports that were recently dropped back in October, both for 1 and 2. And again, I don't want to get super in-depth with it because I do plan on wanting to talk about it a lot more in our Game of the Year episode, because I'm just going to say this right now. This is one of my favorite games I played this year. Not even just like a game. Like, this is one of my favorite games I've played in a while. Like, No More Heroes is one of those games that has always had some low-level hype to it. Or, like, people who have played it and loved it absolutely loved it and will, like, rave about the game. Even with warts and all. Because, again, it's far from a perfect game. There are some problems with this game that has not aged in the best of light. But I think what the game was ultimately trying to do, it pretty much almost nails right from the get-go and cementified Travis Touchdown as one of the greatest video game protagonists, in my opinion. Not just because of his character, but just how the story they chose to tell using him as a character. And it's such a great deconstruction of just the medium in general with video games. Like, again, I don't want to get too much into it because I plan on wanting to talk about it a bit more in the Game of the Year's episode, Game of the Year episode, but I really love Travis Touchdown and the journey I went go along with him, particularly with 1 and 2. I know 2 fans are kind of more a little bit mixed about. I know people don't hate 2, but they compare to 1, they feel like it does take some interesting choices. And I know Suda 51 wasn't the director on that one. In fact, I think No More Heroes was the last game he directed until I think Travis Strikes Again. Don't quote me on that, but I know like No More Heroes 1 was like his last true directing game, or like game that he was really like a mastermind behind, and not just kind of, or again, don't quote me on that, but I know he didn't direct 2 compared to 1. And if I'm just going to say this right now, I do prefer 1 over 2, even though I do think 2 aids the best presentation-wise. But there's stuff about 1 that I really enjoy and love a bit more than 2. Like, I feel the control style of 2, even though it's almost the exact same, it's still the same style of gameplay. So it feels a little bit better to 1 compared to 2 to me. I know I'm not the only one who thinks this, but it's, again, it's just, like, very small. Like, it's almost, like, almost identical. There's just, like, small nicks in just how Travis feels when you fight with him. That feels a bit different on that end. But I digress. But I love this game so much. Like, the story is so great. The characters, the world, like, I get why this game has this cult status, and I am so glad I finally got around to playing 1 and 2 this year, because it's definitely some of the best gaming experience I had in quite some time. But it also just made me a fan of not just the No More Heroes franchise, but also the Suda 51, because I truly have not played a Suda game before this. Like, I have always heard about Suda. Obviously, Suda is one of those figures that is kind of like a Hiro Kojima, Miyamoto, you know, like, you could sell a game just using his name alone. Granted, it's probably not going to be, like, a huge hit, because, again, No More Heroes, I think, was their biggest hit, and even then, it was, like, a very niche audience. But he's one of those figures in gaming that has such a unique vision and such a unique style, and his way he, I think, tackles games. The gaming in general is so unique and so great that even warts and all, because again, I do have some, there's not every choice he makes as a game design works for me, but I understand where he was trying to go, like where they were trying to go with it. And even though I'm not maybe say necessarily a fan of some of the decisions, I get it. I don't want to get too much into it because I do want to go in a little bit more about the game, but I can't recommend this game enough to people. I think both versions are like $20. They were on sale a little bit. They were like 10 or 15% off when they first dropped. That's how I got both 1 and 2. And I played through both of them back to back. Like, I love this game. Like, the combat, it's definitely bare bones compared to like a other character actions game, because that's what I kind of compare it to. I compare it to kind of a character action game, like a Devil May Cry or a Bayonetta. Like, it's not as in depth as those games, but you definitely get a challenge to it, and it definitely does reward you for learning more of the mechanics and things of that nature. And I think how it implemented what primarily was a Wii game at the time to the Switch was very well done. I didn't play with the motion controls. I played on with my Pro Controller in dock mode. And I think how they implemented the port compared, especially because they did do a PS3 port of the first one, which was not well done from what I understand. But this one, I could say they did a very great job, a very good job with it. Like, I felt really intuitive, felt very fluent. I feel like if I fail, it was me, not the game. And yeah, I don't like, this game was a lot of fun. I want to talk about it more because there's so much I've talked about, like, to how this game deconstructs gaming in general, and just how Travis Touchdown works so well as a character, and why I think this game has such a cult status. But again, I will be saving that more for the Game of the Year episode. And I'm sorry I keep on replaying that, because I do want to talk about this game a lot. I love this game. Like, it's like far from a perfect game, but I love this game warts and all, because I can't imagine this game without its warts and all. And I just, if you're mildly interested with it, I definitely recommend just starting with one. And if you enjoy one a lot, you're going to enjoy, I think you will enjoy two a little bit as well. It is on a Nintendo Switch. I believe it's $20 for each game, and it's totally worth it. Like, the first game, I think, took me about 20. Granted, I also, like, try to get everything in that game. It took me about 20, 25 hours to beat, and I think the second one was just a little less, around 15 to 20. But you definitely get a decent amount of gameplay for $20, so I do recommend No More Heroes and 1 and 2 a lot. And again, I will talk about it more in depth on why I just absolutely am in love with the game more in our Game of the Year episode, which will be coming up here soon. But speaking of games that are a little bit more anime-type styles, or definitely has more of a, you know, that aesthetic, another game that my friend Alexander, friend of the show Alexander, recommended to me, but not even just that, my also another friend of the show, Frankie from Pac-Man World 2 episode, recommended Persona 4. So I finally got around to Persona 4 with the golden version dropping on Steam earlier this year. I picked it up when it first came out, but I didn't really play it until probably around October. I finally put my time into it, and I really enjoyed this game, or what I enjoyed so far. So I'm about 25 hours in. So, and granted, that sounds like a lot of time into it. I'm barely in the second dungeon. Like, I'm just at the final boss in the second dungeon at this point. That puts it in perspective. Like, if you don't know about the Persona games at this point, which I can't necessarily blame you, but I feel like that series has gone mainstream with the past couple years, definitely due to 5 success. And people just, whatever reason, 5 just clicking, like, being the game that just broke through and just becoming, like, pretty much a massive franchise that it became. Like, again, Persona kind of was a, I don't want to say a spinoff game, but it was like it spun off from the Sendomine Tenshei series, which was at the time Atlas, like, kind of premier series. And then Persona became kind of like the one that more people are now maybe aware of compared to it. I know Sendomine Tenshei has its fans, like, and people are excited about the 5th game finally coming out next year, fingers crossed. But I mean, the way that Persona has blown up this year, like, within the past couple years, it's been something crazy to think about. And I'm nothing but happy for Atlas and the success of the game, because again, Persona 4 Golden, I mean, I've been loving this game. Like, this game, it's a JRPG that works for me. Because JRPGs are very hit and miss for me. Because I'm just not a big fan of turn-based. Like, I enjoy it, but it definitely doesn't grab me as much as other gameplay styles, and I think that's one of the reasons why I don't really play JRPGs as much. And not just that, they're also time sinks. Like, you definitely get content with this game, like, with each game's, like, those games play, like, take, like, tens and tens of hours. Like, I think even, like, Persona 5, like, it's a minimum of, like, maybe 100 hours beat the, you know, the base game before, like, you add side quests and, like, additional missions and things of that nature. So, I mean, even Persona 4, like, the intro, like, the prologue, I think it was took me about 3 hours to finally get the game going, which normally would be a big no-no for me, because I do feel like your first impression, like the first couple hours, is really, you feel like should really grab the character, like grab the player at that point. But I really love this world. I love the characters. I love the dialogue. I think the English dub, it does a great job. Like, the voice acting really great. The writing's very superb. I was really engaged just with the story alone before I actually feel like I was starting to get open up the game regarding the gameplay and just the what unlocking, like, you know, certain weapons, things of that nature. Like, I was even just primarily motivated to continue on just because I wanted to find out what happened to these characters and also spend more time with these characters. I really enjoy, like, this cast characters a lot. Which, if you Persona 4 starts out as you're an exchange student that gets comes in to this, you go to school in the city, but you take a semester to go out to this city, this small town outside of, like, your hometown, the home city, where your uncle and your uncle and your niece, and he is a detective. And right when you started, right when you get in there, there has been this mystery of people dying in very horrendous ways and bodies getting left out in public to a city that normally doesn't have these types of violent crimes. Like, it's a pretty quiet town, and you kind of find yourself into the mystery, which just kind of, I mean, because you're an anime protagonist, so obviously you do, not just because your uncle is, like, the lead detective of it, but also just the crew that you befriend in the game, with their connection, one's, like, being the son of, like, the manager of the big store, Junis, which is basically the equivalent of a Walmart coming to a small town that destroys small businesses because they can't compete with their prices and things of that nature. And then, you know, some of the friends, and then, like, one who's an action movie fan and just loves to frill. And then one is a daughter to a hotel dynasty that basically becomes a manager at 16, which, again, crazy to think about, but... And you do, like, meet more people as you go through the game. But basically, you discover that you can go through TVs to go to this world. This different world that is very mysterious, very shadow-like. That you don't have that much more going on. That you find different versions of the people in the real world in there. And you eventually learn that that's kind of who is... overall harming these people. I don't want to say they're the reason why the murder, because obviously there is a person who's throwing these people into these worlds without, like, any resources. And it's so great. It's engaging enough on that end here, but the cast of characters are really fun, and I haven't even got to the point where you can start technically dating some of these characters or, like, really build your social links and stuff like that. Like, and that's again, it's like, it's a JRPG with, like, freaking dating sim elements to it. Like, there's a lot to this game. Like, not even just, like, the battle mechanic, which I think works fine. It's turn based, but I like how you use your personas in different ways. Like, you have different type of persona. It's almost like Pokemon in a way. I know that's maybe blasphemy, because I know, like, Persona is probably a little bit more in-depth, but that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like, you, the personas, like, because they have different types that work best on each of the enemies, and you can even mix the persona to create new persona, new and more powerful personas and things of that nature. And it's so good. Like, it works. Like, it's in depth enough where I do want to learn, like, want to know more of the battle mechanics and kind of, like, strategize each encounter that I have and things of that nature. And also, even, like, your social links. Like, the game rewards you for being building relationship with these characters, because you build relationship with your partners and it becomes stronger in the battlefield, like in the battles. Not only just because they're attacks, but also you unlock specific moves that they'll learn as you get to a certain social link with each character, which I just absolutely loved. And again, I'm barely, even at like 25 to 30 hours into the game, I feel like I'm still barely touching what this game fully offers. And I do want to, I'm obviously going to play more of it here. I would talk about more probably in the Game of the Year episode, because this is definitely one of the best games I played this year, but I haven't played enough that I feel comfortable to really do a deep dive, because I'm still going through the game myself, and I still feel like I have a lot more to see before I can really talk about it. But before I kind of move on to the last two games that we'll talk about for this episode, I love the soundtrack, man. Oh my god, I knew the Persona series had really fantastic OSTs, but oh my god, Persona 4 soundtrack is so damn good. Like, every track, like, I find myself, like, even in battles, like, just getting hyped, not because of, like, I'm battling a very powerful enemy here, it's like the music itself just gets me moving. Like, even, like, you're just in between music when you're, like, going through the town and stuff, slaps. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, oh god, it's so damn good. Like, there's a reason why there's memes out there, people just, like, jamming out to the soundtrack. Like, oh, I'm sorry, just jamming out to, like, I can't even think of, like, the names of the songs, but oh, it's so damn good. It's so damn good. Like, if you don't even check out the game, I recommend just checking out the soundtrack. It's definitely one of the best pieces of music I have heard in quite some time. It is so damn good. So good. I can gush about it for hours, but maybe one day, like, again, I do want to talk about this game a little bit more in depth once I kind of do beat it, but we'll get to that point when we get to that point, which will probably maybe be this time next year, just have how I've been kind of playing it here. But the last two games I will talk about here today are kind of like very similar. I'm kind of bunching them together because they kind of came out, well, they didn't came out at the same time, but they got big around the same time, and that's Fall Guys and Among Us. I kind of want to talk about more about Fall Guys, because I think there's a lot more to talk about in that one with Among Us, even though they're very similar games. So they're both, like, basically party games that blew up this year. Among Us came out in 2018 and Fall Guys dropped late summer of 2020, and they just blew the F up, because I think with us, I just think, like, it was just the perfect storm of kind of, like, why Animal Crossing got so big all of a sudden. It's just the fact that we're just stuck inside most of these days. People want to play, like, you know, interact with friends, or, you know, find stuff that you're interacting with other people, and these are kind of, like, the best ways to do it. Necessarily, Among Us is kind of like if you take, like, Clue mixed with a little bit of Jackbox here and there. What I mean by that is just, like, there's some humor in the game, and I think it's more like with the players themselves and not the game itself here, even though, like, I do like the little nods here and there, but it does kind of make you really question your, like, how people lie and things of that nature. Like, it's a very fun party game that I think if you haven't played it yet,
it's only $5 like on Steam, and I think the Nintendo Switch version just dropped recently at the time of this recording. So it's only $5. It's totally worth it. It's so fun. I love how it oddly brings people together by challenge questioning every person's motives and things of that nature. Like, I feel like I'm just breezing about Among Us, and it's not because I haven't enjoyed my time with the game. I've been enjoying Among Us a lot. Like, in fact, I do want to do, like, I am planning on wanting to do, like, Among Us streams where I stream with you guys, I play with you guys, and things of that nature. They build kind of more of a sense of community here, but it's overall a very simple game that just clicks and is an easy gateway for people just to get into gaming. Like, it captures what I think people love gaming so much. It's particularly online gaming, my multiplayer gaming. Like, you interact with your friends. There's like a level of skill to like kind of like to lie if you're like the murderer, or how to like remember key areas and like what you were doing and try to like convince people that you are not the murderer type situation. Like, it's such a fun community game that I really had a great time with. And I mean, that's why I think Fall Guys even kind of works as what on that end as well, but it's a lot more in depth because it's more challenging. And I actually do want to talk about this game more in depth because I do think it does fit the platforming niche of the series, of this channel, because even though it's more of a multiplayer kind of game show-esque, it reminds me, it's almost like a low-key platform game in its own right. So Fall Guys is basically if Mario Party meets Wipeout, and I think the best way to do it, so you're this little creature, I don't even think they have names, but they're just these little creatures that basically challenge each other with these like a different array of obstacle courses. And they keep on updating the game. As the time of this recording, season 3 just dropped, which I played a little bit of. I haven't played as much as season 2. I played a lot. That's when I finally got around to the game, about October. I think that's when season 2 was really starting to pick up steam and things of that nature. And it's been a lot of fun. I've been playing this a lot with friends as well, like friends that I befriended during this quarantine time online for like other streamers and things of that nature. And my only big criticism of the game is I hate that you can only play at 4 players at a time. I understand the decision because it's only 60 players per round, per games. Like, you start out with 60 players, but then like as each round they eliminate certain amount from not making as far and things of that nature. So we understand that route, but I think why I feel like more people play Among Us is because you can play up to 10, and it's just so much more convenient because I do play with a little bit more people than 4 at a time. So that's like my only true big criticism with Fall Guys, because outside of that, like, I really been enjoying this game. Like, I've been for a while, like, I would play just even by myself just to kind of like see if I can get the crown in that nature. Like, again, so you're going through around like a series of obstacle courses. You start out with 60, but basically you go from 60 to the final round of the last 10 or 12, I believe, to get the crown. And crowns are basically the stars of the game. You can use those crowns to unlock certain new items and buy certain items and things of that nature. And it's not an easy feat. Like, even to this day, I have not won a crown. I have came close. I came so close. I came to the final round, and I came like to the point like I almost had it in my grasp and lose at the very last second, like, which still bothers me to this day. But again, it's more like I blame it more on me and not on the game, to say the least. And I don't know. It's so, but it rewards you. Like, there's a reason why to keep on coming back to do it, because they do update the game with certain costume being only time exclusive that you can buy and get with using with in-game currency. There is DLC. Well, you can buy like coins, but I think it's fair. Like, if you really just want to unlock certain things pretty quick, you have that option. But I do think it's not in your face compared to like certain like ongoing games can be on that end.
But give me a second here.
Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. But I just been, it's a perfect game that I feel like this game would have had success even if it didn't came out in 2020 and just the circumstances that we in. But I think the fact that this game came out when it did, and the situation that we're in, probably just clicked more just because it's such a bright, fun, colorful game. And it's also such a unique party game that I feel like a lot of developers just don't make as much anymore. Or that doesn't feel like a cash grab, to say the least. Like, this game felt like it was built with general care. Like, it was made, like, they really care about the game and not just wanting to throw it out there as a cash grab. Like, I don't, like, again, even the game's success has been kind of like a surprise for everybody. And I love that they keep on supporting it, and they even add new games and all this stuff. Like, it's so much fun, and I will probably talk about it a little bit more in depth because I do plan on talking about it more in my Game of the Year episode, because it is one of my favorite games I played this year, and it's just so fun. Like, it's a really fun game, and I do plan on wanting to stream it with you guys as well, just because I have had a lot of fun with it, and I do want to play it more with like other people and things of that nature, but. Yeah, the only things I could really say that are like downside is you can only play with a group of four at a time. And there is some times where I do feel like there's like just how people cheat and things of that nature. I haven't happened too often, but I run into it enough where I feel like it has caught me to not win certain games and things of that nature. But that's, again, it's a very small nitpick compared to what I had in a very enjoyable experience. So I do recommend Fall Guys quite a bit here, but that's pretty much it. Like, those are basically the main games that I've been playing so far. I've been playing a couple other games here and there, but not that much, and I feel like I want to talk about as more, or I have planned to talk about more in a future episode, more in depth, for the main episodes here. But this is been an interesting format. I'm shocked that I've been able to talk about these games for almost an hour. Like, we're about 58 minutes in, and I'm actually shocked that I've been able to talk about it that long. And would love to hear your feedback about these types of episodes, more like these unscripted kind of free form episodes of just, you know, games I've been playing or games I just been gravitating towards that isn't necessarily like a platformer or more like an in-depth conversation that we normally do here on the show. So I would love to hear your feedback. I know I can ramble on sometimes that basically kind of go to nowhere, but I would love, again, I appreciate you guys' feedback on the show because it gives me like an idea what to work upon, like what's working, what's not working, and where to go from the show here and there. So again, I do appreciate you guys for doing that here. And again, I have been streaming a lot more. I've been starting to stream on Twitch, T under Roy Jenkins. It's where you can find me. It's basically like my username on Instagram and on social media. It's just minus the 30. And I'm trying to plan a schedule here. So far, the only days I know like I will stream for sure are Sundays. And I'm particularly calling those, as for now, Sonic Sundays, where I will play through a Sonic game, like story mode. Right now I'm going through Sonic Adventure. I beat the Sonic story this past Sunday to kind of as a test run, so I'll be playing the rest of Sonic Adventure 1 and planning on going to Sonic Adventure 2 after that, and then probably go maybe to like Sonic Mania, do like a story playthrough Sonic Generations, and things of that nature. Hopefully maybe once I do am able to get more equipment and things of that nature, I will probably try to go through other Sonic games I can have on that end. So, you know, we'll see where we go from there. But I do want to plan a streaming schedule because I've just been kind of streaming as I'm in the in-between period right now, kind of almost every day at random times. Like, I've been kind of just not expecting a lot of audiences, kind of to test what I can do and just see what happens and things of that nature. Just kind of have, like, gameplay out there, you know, just have a swell time and things of that nature. But, you know, come on through, give it a follow, come on through if you just want to watch me play a bunch of random games, or even play along, because I do want to play, like, do certain streams where I just play Fall Guys with you guys, or Among Us with y'all. Like, you know, like, I do want to plan it. I'm just trying to see how my new work schedule goes online, so I'm able to do it more consistently, so I could actually set days and plan more on it. So I will be updating it more through, like, Instagram, Twitter, all through the social media channels. So again, also do follow the show on social media, Up and Down All Around, or even my personal account. I will be updating on when I stream and more, like, the consistent stream schedule once I get to that, once I am able to get cut it down more down to the lot line there. So I'm looking forward to that here, and you will at least have two more episodes before the year end, or at least by the time 2021 comes around. And then I'm already trying to plan out what I'm going to be doing for next month, and trying to do it a little bit more consistently here in that nature. So exciting stuff coming along here and there that I hope y'all enjoy it. And I'm sorry I'm just rambling on, but I can't stress enough how much I appreciate you guys for sticking with the show, listening to it, giving feedback, things of that nature. It means a lot, and the show has definitely helped me what has overall been a very crappy year a lot more bearable, and kind of got me a little bit more passionate about a medium that I have always loved to death. So I'm excited to see where we can go from here, excited for the rest of the show, the future of the show, and things of that nature. And again, if you have any questions, comment, concerns, any feedback, please get, I do have an email, upanddownandaround@gmail.com, or even just shoot me a message on social media, Instagram, Twitter, upanddownandallaround. I do respond back, and I do take your feedback to heart. Not like, oh, I get offended. Just like, again, I know not everything's going to be perfect, so I do love, like, to hear what you guys think about the show and things of that nature. So, and also, yeah, just give a follow to the show, because that's where I do most of the updates on, like, where the show will go, like, when new episodes drop, things of that nature. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. But I want to thank you guys again. And, until next time, guys, like, you know, please be safe out there. Wear a mask. Happy holidays if this is the last episode I upload before Christmas. And you guys, like, yeah, just take care of each other. Please be safe. And just please be curious of other people here. This time of year can be very rough for a lot of people, and especially with just COVID going on. So just be kind to each other. Don't be a dick. Don't be a jerk. This has been a very challenging year, so you don't know what anyone's been going through truly. So just, you know, try not to be a shitty person. Just be kind to each other and understand people's precaution, and just like why, like if they just don't want to go out because they want to stay safe with COVID and stuff like that, you know, it's challenging times, and it doesn't help when you're just rude to another person just for that, you know, just for what they're just trying to do to stay alive. So I wish I could be a little bit more formal than that. Just don't be a jerk, and just try to be a decent human being. And please wear a mask, wash your hands, and, you know, just happy holidays, guys. And I do hope you guys have a great rest of your Christmas season and New Year's and things of that nature. And I'm looking forward to when the next episode of the show, where we talk about, like, the game of the year type stuff, because I'm very excited about that episode. I got a round table of people that I will truly believe will make it very unique. But until then, guys, take it easy, y'all.